This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and you have no idea how many people's lives were saved because I was not in a slutty phase during COVID.
I'm Randy Posey, and I'm just trying to get a Pixar booty before the pandemic ends.
I'm Tess Barker, and someday I will find a blanket so heavy it turns me into a diamond.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you give a secret?
Neither can we.
For everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
That's the theme song of the show, Lady to Lady, OMG. The one you're listening to. Yay.
Oh, yeah.
You guys, I am pumped because we've been recording on Monday afternoons recently, would normally be like a shit time. Mm-hmm. But like now, I love that I get to see you guys now and we get to hang out with fun people on a Monday afternoon. It's really
Turned Mondays around in a big way. I really enjoy breaking up my day this way.
I like as though we had normal Mondays to begin with.
You know, I would be at the cubicle making my Xeroxes. And
I mean, Mondays are like you're catching up on your emails. You got to read your comics from the weekend to see what's going to go up in the cube. Like, is Kathy still with Irving? Is that 20?
Oh, my God, Kathy.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
I miss her.
You guys, let's bring on our guest because I'm so fucking excited she's here. So happy she's here. Margaret. Oh, my God, you guys. I'm so tired. I said you're okay. We'll read it.
She's an amazing comedian, actor, musician, entrepreneur. She's also in the animated film Over the Moon that was just nominated for Best Animated Film at the Golden Globes. It's Margaret Cho. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you. I know Mondays are like kind of... I love Mondays as a comedian because Monday is our Friday.
Exactly.
The weekend of shows is over. I'm probably on a plane sleeping somewhere with my arms crossed.
I'm eating cheese with cheese nips and almonds and drinking a lot of
cheese with cheese nips. You're double cheesing.
What kind of cheese?
Probably just like those weird cheddar blocks that are kind of like they look like poker chips or like dominoes or whatever. They're the weird rectangles that you have to eat. Like sometimes I bought a bunch of those and then I found them like 3-4 years later and they're like still there. They're just you can see through it. You know, like it plastinated itself. Like maybe I should put this in the bodies exhibit. Like it's like very
that
like
translucent
clear. And it's like, what the hell? So gross.
Yeah, it's like you've been in my fridge so long, you should be paying rent.
Oh, my God. Eventually, I bet you we all just eat so much bullshit that that's probably what we do turn into when we die is just 3-month-old cheese. Yeah.
I mean, I'm like shitting out Haribo. Yeah. All Haribo. Like...
I love Harry Bow.
Been doing some goat cheese and salami up here. Feel real delicious. That's my usually go-to. Yeah.
That's classy.
Carrots.
Yummy.
Yeah, Lunchables always had the real plastic cheese, I remember. Mm. That's a real plasticky. Mm-hmm.
I love Lunchables.
I'm not going to go for it.
You know how I like hate white condiments? You saying that just triggered something, and I realize it's because of Lunchables. I just realized that's why I hate white condiments.
Like, condiments, though, did they?
Yes, they did. There was a horseradish package.
Right.
And people would fuck with that shit and squirt it all over the table, and it grossed me out so much. And even I was too young to know what cum looked like, but I knew that was what cum looked like. And I was like, no, I'm out.
It's weird.
Yeah, you're like inner slutty cave woman was like, I know what that is. Somewhere in the deep part of your brain was like, Evolutionarily, I understand.
Supposed to go inside me, not out here on my crackers.
See?
Do you remember that teacher who baked, like, or his teacher and his wife baked semen into cookies and gave them to kids? That was in LA, right?
Am I imagining that? That did happen. I thought that, I think in my head, I assumed that it was the glaze on the cookies, but now I'm not sure.
I'm like, who knew about that? Like, I mean, it's like, I don't know if you could take, I guess maybe did it taste like kind of like got that weird bleachy taste or
fed it to them blindfolded.
Oh,
well, there was another teacher who would feed it to them, like spoon feed it.
That's the same guy. This is the same guy. Luckily, only one that we know of.
Can I guess what he taught?
Yeah.
Biology.
I'm going to go like some kind of math. Like algebra.
Yeah, I think it was like engineering or maths. Maths.
Maths. Oh, I love how, British people call it maths.
Maths.
Yeah.
STEM. It was real STEM.
Yeah.
It just keeps saying teacher, so I think they stripped him of whatever department he was in.
So gross. Yeah,
we're taking back. Can you take back a degree from somebody? To be like, were very good at long division, but you fed kids semen, and now you can't teach it anymore.
You put too much of it in the recipe. It overpowered every other flavor.
That's the thing. Could have gotten away with it.
It's like turmeric.
Why is that a kink? Like that's not kinky. I mean, I could see how like a cum eating moment would be kinky, but not to people who don't know and not to kids.
Oh, nothing with kids ever. Yeah. It's a weird Sweeney Todd situation kind of. I don't know. It's weird.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. If consent's not involved, I don't think it's a kink.
Then it's not a kink. Then it's like a crime. It is a crime.
Yeah. Oh, tasting games is what he calls them.
Oh, God. All right. I'm going to ask you guys. Have you guys heard of NFTs? I'm changing the subject.
No.
Does anyone here know what they are?
No.
Yeah, kind of.
Have you bought any, Margaret?
I haven't bought any. I don't understand like why anybody would buy anybody. It's like a specific moment on the internet that you can buy that is like put out by artists that you own that is unique to you.
Yeah.
Only you have it. So it's like a piece of, it's like memorabilia, but it's digital.
Yeah, okay. Basically.
That sounds
kind of like
cool.
Art that lives, it lives online. So it's like buying the original like album of something that's like a special edition that there's only like two of, or, a book or whatever, but it just lives on the internet. But it's very like hot right now. And there's a lot of, it's funny. My boyfriend.
What are some
is a,
examples of like what they look like? Just they run the whole gamut.
It's a GIFs. It's like they're the NBA is selling dunks, like specific dunks that people.
Hold on, I think my husband's caught up in this shit.
Oh, of course,
and he tries to tell you something about his trading cards. He woke up
it's
early,
like a trading card type of thing.
Oh no, I do have NFTs in my home. Yeah,
it's it's sort of interesting to me, but also only because I've been talked about it so much. My boyfriend said so much about it that finally I had to give in and like sort of learn what it was because I just couldn't go any longer. Yeah.
It's an extension to me of like crypto, Bitcoin, GameStop, where it's just, I'm furious. I want to dismiss it outright, but I'm also furious that incel virgins are making lots of money off of it. So part of me feels like I guess I should learn to understand it because I deserve the money more than them.
I don't understand. Yeah. I don't really understand why. I mean, I don't know. I buy like cat toys on Etsy. Like it's stock, so I don't know. I mean, I have no understanding of like investment anything.
No.
At all.
Oh my God. By the way, Margaret, I saw on your Instagram your beautiful cats. Your hairless cats.
They're so beautiful.
Oh my God. Just works of art.
They're so beautiful. And you can see the litter box right there. They have seven litter boxes. Because I can't figure out like where they want to shit. And then they're like sometimes certain litter boxes are really trendy. Like there's a line. They'll like wait in line to get to them. And than other litter boxes. They've totally, they're like, nobody ever goes to the downstairs litter box. I mean, please. Oh my God.
So last year.
Do they have different names? I feel like you should have like the names of like clubs on each litter box as they've gone bad in the city.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's like the hot one right now is the robot, the little robot that's in the main bathroom. And then they have two litter boxes in there. They had that one and then the Jackson Galaxy. And they wanted to go in the Jackson Galaxy one because it was like the branded one. It's like the My Cat from Hell branded one.
Right.
But then they liked the litter robot a lot. And then, but I can't turn it on because they're too small to set off the engine. They're still about 4 pounds.
Oh, my God.
They're babies. So beautiful. So
we amazing. Have, I have a kitten. Cindy. And we've had her for like 6 months or so. We got her as a stray. And I saw a penis yesterday. I saw a penis on Cindy. So I wasn't expecting it. So our world's been rocked. We assumed we had this little girl. And now we're like, why did we make her like in our head? She's a, you know, this little lady. And now it's a boy. I mean, it doesn't really matter. I don't think we're going to change her name or anything or really what we call her. But... I wasn't expecting a dick on her, really.
Cindy seems like she would have a really dainty little dick.
Cat dicks are very dainty. Yeah, they're like a little like a little brush pen or something.
Did you have a moment of like, oh, we would have talked to this kitten differently if we'd known it was a boy?
That's what was weird, is I was like, wow, I feel very odd about how much we were gendering the kitten when after we knew that she is male or whatever. I was like, why would we have treated her differently? That's so fucked up. It's a cat, and yet we would have treated her differently. I mean, Cindy is Cindy. That's all I can say.
I do think it's funny, like with pets, you do have to, especially when you live with someone else, like it's very much a writing situation. So you decide what the characters are like pretty early. And then like there's pets that like you have more fun writing for. And that's usually the pet that's like kind of bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you just have the two cats, Margaret? Or do you
have more? I have a dog. Her name is Lucia Caterina.
Ooh, yes.
And she is in the other room. She hates podcasting. And she really hates Instagram Live is the worst thing I could possibly do. But she really hates Zoom as well. So anytime she sees me sitting and talking, she starts barking. And so, and I can't get to her. I just see one ear out of her bed. And she knows she's being bad, but she's really cute.
She's worried about your screen time. She's just like, mom, the blue light, I don't like it.
She's just like, I don't know, it's not gonna last. That's what I said about the internet when it first came out. I was like, it's not gonna last.
She's like, mom, why didn't Skype get their shit together in time earlier for this? Why is it only
they
Zoom
had so much
she
time.
Had stock in Skype.
I love wow. Skype.
You do? You are the only person I've ever met.
I actually love Skype.
Are you serious?
I had a really good affair with a Spanish paratrooper on Skype in 2012. And it was
that would make me like Skype.
It was so great.
I stand corrected.
He was in London. Oh no, I was in London. He was in he was in Spain sometimes, and he would be in Portland sometimes. And
where did you meet him?
I met him on I would do this thing with other comics, other girl comics. Mm-hmm. We would go to a town and we would turn on our locations on OkCupid. I really like locations-based dating apps. I just, it takes the choice out of it. It takes, the confusion out of it. You just go to the closest one. So I just did that. I took a bunch of Ambien and I drank a wine and then I've just turned on my locations. He was the closest one. But fortunately, he was really sexy. And we only met a couple of times, but we had carried most of it on because I was on the road a lot over Skype.
Mm.
And it never glitched. And this is 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago.
Maybe I feel like it's good for one on maybe like intimate, paratrooper relationships.
Maybe sex, where English is your second language, and
yeah, don't need to worry too much about that. Did you ever get to see him paratrooping? Did he send you videos of that?
No, no. But he did end up working later as an airline mechanic. So then he would show me the insides. He would do videos of the insides of like engines.
Okay, I believe him then. Because I was going to say, that paratrooper, it sounds like you could
It sounds like it's really like catfish. But actually it was, I never saw the paratrooper, but I saw the equipment.
Yeah.
The parachute.
I saw like the packs and stuff. And he never really talked about it. Like he was just like, oh yeah, you know, that's just, you know,
just the thing I do.
You know, this I don't like doing very much anymore. And then he really liked his airline mechanic job. Although it was hard because he had to work. They only work when the airlines are on the ground, which is in the middle of the night. So the shift starts at like 1 a.m. So it's like a very intense job. So he just was always like the weird timing, but we worked out because I was on the road all the time. So we were up at the same time. So Skype worked out well for us. Better than when we hung out in person.
Why?
I don't know. I just didn't. I guess like when it was real life. Oh, one time. Okay. I love his dog. But one time we were out and he's the kind of guy that doesn't neuter his dog or doesn't. Yeah. Mm. So his dog was huge bull terrier. And we were out and it was the middle of the night and it was raining really hard. And I looked down and I see the bull terrier swallowing a rat's tail. Like, so he'd already eaten the rat, but the rat's tail was like wiggling and he was sucking up like spaghetti.
My God.
It was like a horrorcore version of Lady and the Tramp with a spaghetti, but it was a rat.
But the tramp was eating Lady.
With a tail. And I was like, I don't know why that shouldn't affect my opinion of the guy, but it really, like, he ate the rat and sucked up the tail like spaghetti. But it kind of fucked it up. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
Yeah, if dogs want their owners to get laid, they need to lay off the rat eating, you know?
I guess. I don't know. There was a couple of factors. Like,
going to lick his face and stuff afterwards. I think that's where I would go. I'd be like, oh, God, now do you have rat scabies and stuff? Because are you brushing your dog's teeth? What's going on here?
I will say Cindy lost a tooth the other day on and I found it's like a, you know, very, very tiny little kitten tooth. And we were saying if we put it under her pillow, like what does the tooth fairy bring her? And I guess it would be a dead mouse.
Yeah.
I think a dead mouse.
Cute.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think that's what they'd be into. What are the personalities of your cats, Margaret? Do they have what is like their interplay with the dog and everything?
They are I have a ripple rug, so which is like a piece of carpet with holes. So they go in and then you just see a little cat butt and then my dog will hump it. So it's like my dog's glory hole and it's super kinky. And I'm like, this is so weird. And then they sleep in the bed with me and they look, the cats look so weird. So if I see them in the night, they look like sleep paralysis demons. Because they're just these like really weird looking like aliens staring. And they sit, like when I'm about to wake up, they just sit there and stare because they get hungry and they want to eat and they don't get free fed. So they just stare at me to wake up. And sometimes, like I'm such a heavy sleeper, like they'll try to like meow, but I don't hear it. Or I hear it and it goes in my dream. So, but they I have enough body where they can all find their like little area in my body. And then the dog is like, so they pick the area that the dog is across from. And then they kind of ignore me. Like one of them was just had her back to me all day today. And I'm like, we just slept together. And she was just like.
Wow. Emotionally distant. No.
Very emotionally distant.
She's playing those fuckboy games. I like it.
So fuckboy. But one of them is deaf. And so the other one is like her ears. And the deaf one is like very. There's something about her that is kind of unreachable. So, and the other one's really like beautiful and sweet. But the deaf one is a little bit distant because she gets overstimulated really fast. So I'm just building these connections, but they're really great.
I love hairless cats are kind of like to me, if you took a robot of a cat and covered it in skin, like you can see all the motions and they just have like, I love the way their skin feels and they just have such like soulful alien vibes.
Yeah, they're very alien and they're so beautiful and they're just, they're a lot though because they don't have fur. So normally they're all of the normal cat like grooming things they can't do. So sometimes they'll have like a turd, like the hearing one ate one of my hairs, and then she had turds connecting it. So it was like she was like had a necklace of like beads. It was like an earring, like a, you know, shoulder sweeper earring coming out of her butthole and like all over the floor and everything. And then it was covering her skin like self tanner. So then I had to wash her. But they very much, they really fulfill me. Like I feel so good.
Yeah, I would have had a hard time getting through a lockdown without some furry cats within reaching distance.
It's so
for
good.
Sure. I have a dog and my roommate has a cat, and she was gifted a pet psychic reading for the cat a week ago. And we found out that his name is Oscar, and Oscar thinks that he's a lion. Mm-hmm. And what he does, we have a giant palm tree outside of my house, and the pet psychic said that he likes to go and stare at the palm tree because it makes him feel like he's in the jungle. And he, every time he meows, he thinks he's roaring at us to let us know that he's like a big, proud lion.
Oh, so cute.
My roommate made him a tiny mane that matches his coat, and now he wears it sometimes. And when he usually hates any sort of harness or collar, but when she put it on him, he started just strutting around the house as if he was like, yes, this is my final form. Oscar. I was meant to be this. It's the cutest thing ever.
That is beautiful.
I will say, like, no shade. I could give that reading.
Sounds like if it's a cat, you probably say for sure. It's a lion.
I mean, very possible, for sure.
It's a lion, and thinks the outside is the jungle. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I mean, whatever. It's still fun. It was a fun gift to be like to just have like a pet psychic just start texting you out of the blue about your cat. Like, ooh, your cat's a lion.
It's so beautiful. I love it. I love that. Yeah. It's so cute.
Yeah. That's what I think all my gifts are going to be from now on. I'm just going to buy people like $30 pet psychic readings just to be like, here.
Yeah, it's a perfect gift. It's just not something you're going to get yourself, but it's fun to do.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, little experience.
I'm going to give it to my parents just so they'll get a fucking cat already, because I've been trying to get them one. So maybe if they have that, then they're going to have to. It's like if you give a, you know, certificate to a restaurant somebody wouldn't usually go to, but now they have to go.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The really funny part that actually that was interesting is that she texted, she was texting all this stuff to Anna, and she goes, ooh, like a little black dog popped in out of nowhere.
Oh, your
dog. And Anna was like, yeah. And Anna was like, well, what did the cat say about the dog? She said, no, it's not the dog. The cat has no opinion on the dog. It's the dog popping into the reading to tell me that he's hungry and that he should be fed.
That's so and she didn't Jack know.
Yeah, and she didn't know that there was a dog in the house, which is like very funny.
That is so she just cute. Was
like, she was like, a tiny black dog just popped in and said, hey, I see you. Tell them to feed me. Which is my son to a T. I'm very proud of him.
That's so adorable.
He advocates for what he wants, and he might have bitten all of my friends, but I love him.
So cute.
Yeah, he's a pretty
good I can read that Jackson is going, it wants to bite someone. I can tell that much as far as psychicness goes.
Usually, he's 14 years old. He's grumpy. He's like 40% Chihuahua. That's going to happen. Oh,
yeah. I mean, hell, I want to bite everyone, so I get it.
Exactly.
This is reminding me of, I listened to this podcast about, there's this whole field of like metaphysical study. Are you guys familiar with like dolphin people?
I've listened to stories about people that like fuck dolphins. No, is that what you're talking about? Okay.
That's kind of like where I was getting that what I thought of.
Thought of people that think like dolphins are actually the superior species above humans. And which I believe is plausible.
I believe that.
Right.
I think that dolphins, all sea mammals.
Exactly.
I think I give it up for octopuses, I think, more than dolphins.
That's fair. But the bummer about the octopus that really, did you guys watch that octopus documentary?
Oh, it's amazing.
No,
oh,
I need to watch it.
So good.
I have to watch it.
Most beautiful movie like I've seen in a long time. Yeah. But they only
My friend
live,
the octopus?
My friend the octopus. Yeah. But they're so smart and they only live 1 year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's tragic.
But anyway, the dolphin people, they think dolphins are actually the ones that know what's up. They're trying to run shit and they're constantly like trying to send psychic messages to humans about how to like heal the world and create inner peace. Mm-hmm. And some humans are actually dolphins who are just being humans.
Well, we can all say things.
I like
that.
I agree. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so cool.
I don't think I'm a dolphin because I didn't understand.
Neither did
that,
I. So
I mean, I love a good conspiracy theory. It's like QAnon really mm-hmm. fucked up conspiracy theories for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Because really I do did. Love yeah. a good conspiracy, but now yeah. we can't even.
You can't even dabble.
Yeah, now there's just such this evil yeah. backbone to it that you think of first.
Like, remember when you could just get really high and watch the documentary about how Katy Perry's actually JonBenet Ramsey? And that was just fun?
Yes! It's so deep, and now it's like you can't even entertain any of this.
Yeah, it's yeah. such a bummer.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
Yeah, it's...
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so hard. You have to constantly just preface it.
They ruined many a thing.
Yeah, I know. I'm constantly, every time I want to talk about, like, you know, anything in that world, I have to preface it and be like, no, this is not a Q thing, and this is why it's not. It's infuriating.
I've been listening. Yeah, there's a lot of people trying to help deprogram people now, yeah. and that's like a whole, you know, arm of it that's happening, which is really obviously important, mm-hmm. but hard to do.
Yeah.
So I think that would be interesting work to do, though, trying to, like...
Yeah.
You know, there's just so many people in it, and they're so embarrassed to admit, I think, it's that so they're crazy. Wrong or that anything's wrong.
Yeah, because they went so hard, and they don't want to be wrong, so they'll go even harder yeah. into it. That's right. the nature of it. That's why it's so scary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and it's like, if you look at, like, mm-hmm. any cult, it's like, no cult has ever really ended well, kind of for yeah. that reason, because, like, it's really hard to admit the time and energy and money that you've put into something. And
yeah.
You know, nobody wants to admit they're a victim to no.
Leaving
like
a cult is like canceling
like
your
to
wedding.
To be fair, we've only...
It's like, you already sent out the invites, everyone right. got your gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so.
But you know what? To be fair, I feel like maybe there's a few cults we just haven't heard about That's that have true. Been okay. Maybe we've just heard about the bad ones. Yeah.
I think there's probably some that are going to come out of quarantine that we just don't know about. And I'm interested to see, like, in a year yeah. or two, like, what's been going on.
I mean, I wish I could join one, but they're also dumb.
I know.
Like, it's like, I wish that there was, like, a cool one, but they're never cool. It's just...
No, I think we have stand-up, and that kind of replaces kind a of lot a of what people are looking yeah. for yeah. in their own, you know. It's usually you're looking for a purpose or something, and, like, we've, for better or for worse, found yeah. ours in this little
yeah,
corner of the
it's
world.
True. It's definitely
I like
true.
Our cult, because at least you still get to, like, have fun.
And we get to make fun of people, yeah. and that's all that matters, and laugh ourselves. So that's yeah. kind of all, I mean, that's the other weird thing about quarantine, too, is, like, I don't even know, like, how I would go back to do a set. Like, I've done a lot of yeah. online shows, but it's so different.
Like, I'm really mm-hmm. looking forward to it. Like, I had this thought of an old joke mm-hmm. of mine that I haven't done in, like, over a year. And, like, it was a joke that I've been doing for a while that I'd actually gotten kind of sick of doing. And I had this thought of, like, oh, my God, that would feel so good to, like, tell that joke live right now. So,
yeah,
that'll be kind of cool. I think, like, material that I was getting a little bit over will be, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. I'm yeah. excited
but like
to
like a
do
real
things.
Audience
yeah.
laughing is going to feel
yeah,
crazy,
it's going to be feel like really different. I mean, I just didn't appreciate it. I think, like, of course, after a while, we start to take, I do, start to take comedy for granted. And really, it's mm-hmm. such a great thing to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my for God. Sure. I miss, yeah. We've talked about it here, but I miss it so much. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to take this for granted again. Like, we're so lucky to have that yeah. outlet.
Yeah.
All right. We got to take a quick break, everybody. We'll be right back.
BRB.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
I'm Babs. And we're here with Margaret Yay. Cho.
Yay.
Yay. Margaret, it's probably been quite a while since you did a job interview, so we're going to just bring it back here yes. with our business right. questions segment.
Business.
Please be advised.
Came out of nowhere.
Questions.
Business questions.
Are we moving the needle?
We've got some business.
Pull up a chair. Would you like some water?
Need to make questions. The music louder. And
I love it. I love a theme song. All right.
So you okay. can answer these however you see fit. So Margaret, tell me how you think other people would describe you.
I think that they would describe me as a comedian who is really devoted to stand-up comedy, feminism, gay rights, Asian American and all race discussions, jokes, an activist, an entertainer. and a lady.
well, you got it right.
Yeah, you're hired. I'll say that. Thank for you. Now. Hell of a resume you have. I love that. That's awesome.
Do you feel like, have you been a big feminist your whole life, or do you feel like comedy radicalized you?
Both. I mean, I grew up in San Francisco. My parents owned a gay bookstore. And so, and then when I was really young, like in my teens, I started to think I'm a lesbian. And then it was like 1991, 92. I had those like long denim shorts and big Doc Martens, and then a bike chain and a messenger bag. So it was like the lesbian cross and a mohawk. Yep. And I would not stop coming out for years. And people were like, please just stop coming out. I remember David Cross and I drove to LA overnight one time, and I would not stop coming out and putting the heater on high. And he was like, okay. It was really funny. I think I was like 19 and I wouldn't stop coming out to him. And he's like, okay.
He's like, we get it. That's fine. Congratulations. Live your life, girl.
Yeah. Sometimes you can't stop coming out. But then it took me a while to realize how sexist comedy was, even though it was so obviously very sexist. It was just that there was so little space for women. Like, and they still do this today. Like when you do a show, now we got a lady.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Comedy today. Yeah. We got a woman. And it's like, that's not a credit.
Not at all.
It's just a fact. It's not like, you know, it's not like John Biner's comedy on the road and a woman. It's weird. I've had like comics, like I opened for different comics and they would like lock me in their dressing room and shit and want to have sex with me. One time this one comic tried to have sex with me. He locked me in the dressing room and then he jumped on me, but he was half my size. So I just lifted him off of me and threw him back to the other side of the room. Because it's like, how dare you? I am physically twice your size. Like, that's just...
Like, I will squish you into a ball and throw you into the trash. Get out of my face.
It's like, I've had so many really creepy, like, sexual situations, but it didn't occur to me that that was sexism exactly. Because there was no other women that I could share that with, because everybody was on the road.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a way to check in. And then when we were, like, in the 80s and 90s, we didn't really have a way to talk that much. I mean, we talk on the phone. I had a calling card. We would talk on the phone sometimes. Mm-hmm. But really, you were very separated from other women in comedy because we weren't. Yeah. So it was very kind of isolating. So I think feminism didn't really make sense to me in comedy until probably the early, like, aughts, late 90s, something like that.
Totally. Well, it's so interesting as we're talking about this. It's like we were just talking about cults, but it's like everything you've just said, like isolating, being treated like shit. It's like these, like, sexism is a cult in and to itself.
Oh, it is.
And feminism is like how to deprogram from it.
Mm-hmm.
Very hard, because it's gaslighting you also throughout your experience. So, and having no one to check in with about what's real and what's truthful. We didn't have social media. And you had, there was this image of comedians and feminists not getting along, like they would call them like the feminazis, humorless women.
Yeah, of course.
And but I did a Now benefit like in the 90s one time, and they were, I really did bomb, and they really were bad audience, but that wasn't because they were feminists. It was just a bad night all around.
Yeah, that shit happens sometimes.
So funny.
I do miss, like, you know, because since we're in LA, there's just like so many open mics, and you know, you go to, I miss going to an open mic and just seeing a shitty guy getting up there and not necessarily calling him out for what he said on stage, like on the side, but just getting up there and like eviscerating him from on stage, either by calling out what he said or just by being funnier. It's like,
just by having like a way better set. Yeah, that's such a good feeling. Is when somebody really shitty and mediocre eats a dick and then you just get up and kill. Oh.
And it's effortless. That's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so effortless.
Yeah, exactly.
It's important because it's like women have to be so much better than guys to even get your foot in the door and survive in comedy. Mm-hmm. Like, we want to do comedy, we really have to break through so many barriers, including the ones in our own psyche.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Okay. Next question. What kind of work environment do you like best?
I like, I really like a comedy club. I like a smaller theater. I used to really love the place that was, have you done the Laughing Skull in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like 73 seats. Great. I lived in that building above. So I lived in Atlanta for 7 years. So I would just walk down and do a set. So I could do a guest set pretty much every night. Or if they had an open mic, I could just do a set. Or like, you know, just drop in. And it was super easy. And I got to see a lot of comics too. And so it was really, to me, like the ideal kind of comic club. And then I ate a lot of tater tots, which is fine too. But it was kind of, when you get sick of tater tots, that's sad because that's, I love tater tots.
I'd had, there were 18 things going through my head. I was like, what is she going to say? She ate a lot of pills, dick, tater tots.
Both. Pussy, dick, pills. I did eat all of, one comic, oh, this is super weird. One comic, he, I gave him and another comic $1,200 and they were going to buy me Roxy Conton in Kennesaw, which is a suburb of Atlanta. This is probably 2010. And so they said they got robbed. They said that we went down there, we went to the dealer's house, that he pulled a gun out and they gave him the money. And they were like, sorry. And then I felt really bad because I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I feel really bad. But then it turns out they just ripped me off.
Kept the money.
And kept the money and did the drugs. Mm. But overall, I loved living above a comedy club and getting to go there every day. There was just something. I did that when I was a teenager, too. I lived across the street from, there was this night, like comedy club called the Holy City Zoo. And that's where I met Janine Garofalo. She was there. And
that's in San Francisco, right?
That's in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And so I lived across the street from there. And I would just go in and fill in if anybody didn't show up or somebody was late. Or they just didn't do all their time or whatever. It's just great to be on hand, and it's really good for your act just to be able to be up there and just fuck around.
Hell yeah. Totally. And like, I think there's something about a space that you feel comfortable in too. Mm-hmm. I think mentally it just gets you in a place where you're more willing to kind of like take risks and.
Yeah. And you realize it's not that big of a deal. Like sometimes we blow up the stage so big in our mind that it becomes really scary. But when you can actually just make it really like homey and comfortable, that's the best place to be in mentally to approach comedy, I think. So the more like every day you can make it, the better it is. That's why I love like open mics. Like there was that one that was back the backyard of the barber shop on Sunset that was in LA in like 2016, 2017.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Stuff like that I think is really special.
I like that too. And like another thing I like and miss is just like, I don't know, one of my favorite shows of all time in LA was that show everyone hated, Big Fish in Glendale, that dive bar where people would like bust out chainsaws. Like it was so rowdy and it was just such a circus. And like I love just like feeding off that weird, crazy energy where everyone's just like has fire in their eyes. And like I just love that. Yeah. And like I do actually really like that about the South too. I actually love doing comedy in the South.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, it's a blast. The South is the South is a nice challenge because people in the audience are just as funny, if not funnier than you sometimes.
They're so great. And it's so different. Like, it's so different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like the tradition of like Southern storytelling has like no ego. It's very homey. It's very warm out of the gate. And it like it will knock any condescension that you have out of your act immediately because they say, no, you're here. You're family. That's how this goes.
Yeah.
Just be real with us.
Yeah.
I love that about it.
That's really beautiful. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For the listener that doesn't know, Big Fish was this bar here in LA that if you look on YouTube, there's an NPR story about how it's the worst stand-up show in America, I think. And it was owned by this guy named Cheezer
and Billy.
Cheezer and Billy Dilly. And Cheezer was an old radio DJ that got his job doing he could do a Wolfman Jack impression.
Right.
And he would do all of, he got hired to do all of Wolfman Jack's ads for his show because Wolfman Jack didn't want to do his ads anymore. And Cheezer, when you'd be doing your set, if you said something that triggered a memory in him, he would come up on stage and steal the microphone from you and be like, "You're talking about Howie Mandel? Fuck Howie Mandel. Yeah. He hit on my wife one time on a Southwest flight."
Wow. That's
it was just
so great.
Pure chaos.
There's like so many nights I've like eaten peppers that were grown in that parking lot, like spicy habaneros that were grown in a parking lot so that I could get a free pitcher of Coors Light. Like, it was that kind of place.
Yeah. True, beautiful comedy chaos. Yeah. Like, you know, just like when a place that like a bunch of like weird misfits get together and can laugh, it's just like that's comedy at its best, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's really what comedy's about. And that's kind of what all this sort of scenes have come out of. And, you know, I love that. Like, to me, it's really special.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Okay, Margaret, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I don't know. Like, I don't have to go to physical therapy. I'm like really trying to eat a lot of like bone meal and calcium, you know, so I don't have to have, because I have some bone issues.
I'm definitely trying to prep myself, my body. I'm like, okay, it's going to start hurting. Let's like try to prepare.
You're like mummifying yourself for old age.
It's just very, like, I really want something because you know, I'm like, does Haribo make a probiotic? Because I really need to go like gummy. If it's like gummy supplements, then I'm down.
Oh, yeah. That's the only thing that will get me to like actually eat a vitamin is if it's in gummy
form.
Is it
me or the gummy revolution came after the weed gummies? Like, they did weed gummies first, right? And then they're like, oh, you guys like gummies?
Yeah.
There were vitamin gummies before, but I don't know if it was as big.
It's become quite widespread.
Yeah. It's very widespread.
I think it's like as millennials are aging and we refuse to grow up in certain ways, it's like, no, give them gummy vitamins. Their knees are starting to hurt. Jesus Christ, get them to take.
But yeah, why is Haribo specifically not making vitamins? Not doing
it. It's what we want.
Yet? Like, that's who we trust you to make our gummies. I know. Why aren't you getting in the game here for joint health?
Hey, Mr. Haribo, if you're listening, we've got a pitch for you. Peach gummy.
Those little bears pills. On the thing, you know, like they need to be able to do that little
the Grateful
dance.
Dead bears?
Yeah, is that pretty much, that's pretty much what's on the Haribo package, I think. Or am I like making something? Whatever. I'm combining two worlds.
They're all
and
good
that's
bears.
Okay. We have to take another quick break. We'll be back in a second.
Beer beep.
Those headshots that was a composite of them doing laundry and then playing a baseball game and then like,
oh yeah,
you know, like, you know, business lady, like those weird like career totally. Composites.
Those really had a moment, like as if there's no other way you could picture this person as a nurse.
Yeah, there's always an alleyway shot too, of some like with a soccer ball or something. You're like, why is this in an alleyway?
It's so weird, like a bomber jacket and no shirt. It's so weird.
I used to live by a very popular headshot place where like, or like tunnel where photographers would take their people, and it was consistently heartbreaking. I don't know, there's something so sad about seeing someone get their headshot in a tunnel.
Yeah, driving by a headshot session.
A headshot photo session, just to see it from the side is really
because I think
down.
It's because it, no matter who the person is they're taking pictures of, they just look like they're like that cartoon of someone who just got off a bus with like
a
suitcase.
It could be Brad Pitt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can feel the hope and positivity and optimism coming off of it. And it's like,
I know.
Yeah.
It's just very, like, it's like always a girl with like some kind of weird Fashion Nova outfit with like big bell sleeves.
Yeah.
And like a crop top with bell sleeves. It's like, what? That is just so optimistic.
Yeah. Yeah. We already made Felicity. It's not going to happen again. I'm sorry.
It's just so very like, I don't know. I guess I never had those aspirations to be like pretty, you know. I never thought that, like, when I was like in comedy, I was like, well, it doesn't matter, you know, what I look like. I don't have to like be like hot. And that was sort of a relief. Although later then when you get to try to do like television stuff, it's like, then it becomes like, oh, I have to be hot. Oh fuck.
I know, it fucking sucks. Cause I have a hot sister, thank God. So she like tells me how to be hot. But like, it's like, yeah, exactly. Like, I was a writer for a reason, but then shit will come up and I'm like, oh, nobody told me I had to like put a weave in or get that put there. Like, you need someone to tell you, because if you don't have the training, like people who've been hot their whole lives, like they have training.
Yeah. Yeah, they have training.
Yeah, I kept thinking I was gonna like teach myself how to do like hot person makeup over quarantine, and it's just like, it's never gonna happen. I can't. I can put on like barely put on an eyeliner, and that's it.
Yeah, that's enough. That's enough.
Yeah,
I guess. But we do have to be. I mean, I would like to pretend that I don't feel like I need to be, but that's just not the reality at all.
But it's like what I notice is that people are really suspicious of like quote unquote hot women doing comedy, and it doesn't really mm-hmm. have much to do with what you look like. It's just like how you present. Like if you're too dressed mm-hmm. up or have a heel on or like are like just sexy, people you can feel like the lurch of like people just going, this is not gonna be good. And it's really unfair. But it's just there. Misogyny in our society.
Yeah, but it's there. Yeah, I mean, I remember when I started doing stand-up in, like, almost a conscious way, I was like, okay, I'll just dress like Sarah Silverman. She wears a hoodie and jeans. Seems to be a good uniform.
Yeah, but she was so pretty when she was, like, when I first saw her, she was, like, 19, and she had bell bottoms, but not in like a bell sleeve way. It was like bell bottoms mm-hmm. and, you know, like some vintage shirt, and she was, like, just beautiful, you know? And I think that audiences were like pissed.
Well, like, I wonder if that's why she dressed like, but she dressed like a tomboy, and so I wonder funny. If that's why. Yeah,
she's so mm-hmm. funny though, that I think it's like, but she had to blunt that appearance with the tomboy mm-hmm. attitude, which I think everybody loves that, but it was hard when people didn't know, you know.
Yeah, I feel like it's different now where people like definitely dress up more on stage, and like, you know, there's hot ladies all over the place doing comedy and like not, and like flaunting it, so it's nice. But there's still that, like, you're right, there's still that like inner thing that people go like, oh, well, you're attractive, like, you know, you're not gonna make me laugh.
I'm not here to hear your opinion. I just want to look at you and put whatever I think I'm supposed to put on you.
I mean, yeah, luckily the thing annoying. Is people are gonna be assholes no matter what, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, fuck them either way.
I mean, I guess I also don't like when hot guys are funny. No. I never think hot guys are funny. I'm like, oh God.
Yeah, to a certain extent, I think it is like it might just be a hot people thing. I mean, it's definitely more of an issue with women for sure, but I do think it's like a generalized hot people thing.
Yeah.
Like
you
can become hot by being funny, but we don't want you to like be hot and then be funny.
Yeah. Because then it's weird. Then it's like, what?
Yeah, it's like, go do hot people shit. Get away from here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you haven't suffered. You didn't work. You were handed everything because you're beautiful, which is, you know, not necessarily true, but it does kind of, like, I don't want to hear how hard your life is.
Mm-hmm. Well, then it sucks if they're really good at calling that part out, and you're like, no! I'm not supposed to get that.
Oh, a talented hot person? Go fuck yourself.
I know, fuck you. Fuck you. Yeah.
we didn't officially come back, but whatever.
Yeah, we're
back. Let's do a lady problem.
All right. If you have lady problems, you can send them to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com or call us in at 323-6-BUT-30. Hit it, Babs.
Lady problems. Lady problems, do you have them? People have them.
That's right. The song.
Solid.
Okay. This one is a voicemail, so here we go.
Hi, lady to lady ladies. So I have a question. I feel like I already kind of, I don't know if I know the answer. I feel like I know what my gut tells me, but I don't know if I want to go with my gut. So I was invited to my ex's sister's wedding. And like, we're still friends, and I'm still friends with the family, and they really like me, and I like them too. And, you know, I kind of want to go to this wedding, but it's going to be awkward because my ex will be there, and also so will his girlfriend, and so will our kids, which the kids, that's cool. They'll be like into it that I'm there. And I don't know. Like, okay. So part of me wants to go to this wedding because I feel like I like that it's awkward for him. Like, I like the cringiness because I can just be like, what? See how your family still likes me? It's because I'm not a dick. But also, it's like, do I need to prove that? Like, I know I'm not a dick. Do I need to go to this wedding if it's for proving that? Probably shouldn't, right? Or do I, as a supportive ex-sister-in-law? I don't know. Anyway, that's my question. I feel like there's probably more that I could go into about the family dynamics, but I'm not gonna. But can't stand the ex. Do love his family. All right. Thanks.
There it is. So ex going to the ex's sister's wedding that the ex and his girlfriend are at.
Yeah, and their kids are. They have kids together. Okay, so it's that kind of ex. I'm going to say don't go, because it's like when you talk about like kind of wanted to rub it in his face a little bit. This wedding is not about either of you. It's about the sister and her husband getting married. So like if there's the possibility that there could be some sort of an issue here, like, or there's any potential drama between the two of you, just remove that possibility, because it's unfair to the sister and her husband to be, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I mean, if she had given more reasons of like, if the top of it was more like, we're so close, like me and this girl, like honestly, even though we broke up, she, you know, like I feel like I need to be there. And like that was the reason she was torn, because it was like, I feel like I need to be there. But the fact that she led with like the awkwardness thing. Yeah, I think I agree. Just don't go.
I mean, I hate weddings. I hate with the net bag with those weird like Jordan almonds, which are not chocolate. They're not. It's like, what is that? What the fuck is that? It's just a breaker.
Chalky shit.
It's like a jawbreaker with a nut inside. Like, it's a horrible candy. It's in like a weird unsanitary like tulle mesh bag that I'm supposed to keep this. What the fuck? And I hate weddings. And then also you're like there with all these people that I and nobody has a good time, including the bride and the groom. Everybody hates weddings. Everybody is having a bad time. It's horrible food. It's horrible music.
Margaret Cho does not express all of the opinions of Lady to Lady.
I know. I've had quite enough. I've had weddings. I've had quite enough of them, and I don't ever want to have another one. And I'm like, I don't want to go to any of them.
Totally fair.
Yeah, I mean, I see that, but like, I gotta say, like in behalf of weddings, like, what's not to love? Like, you get to dress up, you get free food and alcohol, you get to dance, you get to like make an ass of yourself, and you kind of get a free pass.
Yeah, I feel like, and you're also, you know, as people who've been devoid of gossip for a year, you get to provide
weddings
gossip,
are gossip
or you get
mills.
To see it, you know, happen, and that'll keep everyone running for quite a while. I mean, I think, I don't know. I think if you decide to go, it depends obviously on the size of the wedding. If it's a big wedding, I think she can pretty much avoid the ex for, you know.
Yeah.
Decently. It's like, I don't think it's, I've definitely been to plenty of weddings where, not where I had a, well, I know I've been at weddings where there are exes and they're, you know, and you just kind of avoid them. It's like not that hard to not talk to someone.
Yeah, it's like easy to avoid. It's just like the whole like I need to prove that I'm not a dick thing, where I'm like, don't. That's not. That has nothing to do with this day at all.
You're just gonna have to be okay with knowing that. Like, we all know that we're better than our exes. We won.
Every single person listening to this is better than their exes.
Totally. I guarantee it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree. If that's your main motivation, it's probably not a great reason to go. And if it's just going to cause you stress and stuff too, then and then, I mean, you got to bring a super hot date to that, obviously, and that's its own thing, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I say
you gotta play that card.
Also, I will say, like, it's expensive to go to a wedding. Take that money and do something different and fun.
Yeah, if you're still like super homies with the your ex-sister-in-law, like maybe, like, you know, whenever she gets back from her honeymoon and everything and you're allowed to go be with people again, like, go, you know, do something fun to celebrate with her. Be like, oh, I couldn't make it to the wedding, but I want to throw you a nice brunch or something.
Oh, yeah,
that's nice.
That's nice. Yeah. Yeah. Make that up afterwards. Yeah. Or like, I don't know where it is, but like, I know you have like kids with this guy too, but like, maybe like if it's like a weekend, like, I don't know, you take the kids out the next day or do something cool with them, so they feel like they've got like a whole weekend with their parents or something. I don't know.
I mean, hell, if he's taking the kids to the wedding, so that signals to me you have a weekend away from the kids. So I would take
that's true.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, go have an anti-wedding.
Oh my God. Can you guys just imagine like the wedding? We're about to get into like a wedding crunch, by the way. Because, like, we're about to have a whole year of backed up weddings in the same year as the normal weddings.
Yeah, I've started getting, like, the re-date.
Save the redate.
Announcements.
Luckily, I know enough people whose relationships didn't last through quarantine that I'm not worried about a ton of weddings happening. So I think we're okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, do that. Wear a pretty, you know what? Wear a nice dress, hang out at home, drink a glass of wine by yourself, you know, or if you're on a date or go out or do something else. I think that'd be more fun.
Well, that's, good luck. And yeah, I mean, I was going to say, let us know how it goes, but if you take our advice, you won't be going. So let us know how
your
great
wonderful child-free weekend goes.
Yeah, let us know what you end up watching and chilling and doing whatever. And yeah, spend that money on something more fun. Mm-hmm. Definitely other ways to do it. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Margaret. That's the show. Thank you, guys. I was in such a bad mood today, and this totally made me feel so much better. So.
Thank you. So fun. I'm enjoying you on Exactly Right.
Aw, thank you.
This is really perfect. I mean, she's Karen's a really she would perform with me all the time at the Holy City Zoo. Mm-hmm. And so
really?
Yeah, she's you guys came
did
up
you so you started in San Francisco. When did you move to LA?
In 1991.
Okay.
Janine Groffel forced us all to move to LA.
That's adorable. I mean,
she was like, really?
She was like, what the fuck are you gonna do? What the fuck are you gonna do? And like I taught her how to smoke cigarettes. That's how long we know each other. So it's like, yeah, what the fuck are you gonna do?
Wow, that's an incredible Janine impression.
She was just so like magnetic, and we just all wanted to be her. And then all her and Laura Keitlinger wanted to be them so bad.
Yeah, so, who still doesn't want to be both of them?
Yeah, I still want to be both of them. And me and so Karen Kugarf came to LA by way of Janine. And then Janine and Kathy Griffin would do this show on at this cafe called it was a bookstore called Big and Tall Books, and there was a cafe upstairs, and they would do these like open mics there. So,
what a dream team! God, I love them both.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
That's such an incredible, like, as a comedy nerd, such like an amazing time of comedy in LA. And I'm just like, I'm so like jealous that I wasn't there for it, but like so grateful to be able to, you know, talk to you and
it's
other
great.
People who are there.
I mean, it's great now. It's actually way better now because it's like, there's just so many more ways that you can get on stage, and you don't have to like, I remember like being around all the guys, they're all like super famous now, and feeling really like scared because I was too shy to talk, and they're all like, their thoughts are so important in their notebooks, and we're like meeting at midnight to get together and write every night, and you know, and they're all like riffing, and I was just so intimidated, you know? Yeah.
The riff can be very intimidating.
I was really scared because it's like, it was me and Janine were like the only women. And she was like, they were all working on the Ben Stiller show. Mm-hmm. And so they were like all like writing and like drinking coffee at like midnight. And I'm like, I can't have any coffee. I'll be up for 3 days. Like, I was just so like freaking out. I was so scared because it was like, you know, to have a seat at the table seemed really like intimidating, you know, and not. Mm-hmm. And then, so I feel like now it's better because now we have more ways to get on stage as women. Like, we have more outlets, we have more places that, you know, back then it was just impossible. I think even like they had to create another they had to create the belly room for women comedians at the Comedy Store because they just wouldn't allow women on stage really. So it's like it's just a much better time. But yeah, it's kind of funny just to think about like who ended up surviving, who stayed, who left. You know, people you thought were going to be huge stars, just they're babysitting.
Yeah.
You know?
Who do you think had the most, like, surprising career of who you came up with?
Oh, probably Will Ferrell. Because I remember Will Ferrell, you never saw his face, and he was part of this dance troupe called Simpatico. And they would wear red and yellow and green unitards that covered their face. So they would be very COVID compliant. And they would dance in these very intricate choreographies that were really funny, but it was also Mumenschanz. It was really beautiful and really weird. And, but you never saw him.
Yeah.
So you were kind of like, this is fucking. And then later I realized, oh, it's Will Ferrell.
That's so funny because now I think I know what every inch of his body looks like.
We know everything.
Sketches over the years.
Mark Ruffalo used to work at the antique store, and then he would bartend at night. And so he came over. I bought a bed at his store and he came over and put it together. And it's like one of these Chinese beds that are really intricate. And it's like mm-hmm. really, he's the only person that knows how to put it together. It's like a puzzle. And there's no nails. It's just puzzle pieces. It's like a 150-year-old bed. And so he came over and put it together. And then when I moved, he was so famous, I couldn't get him to come over and put the bed in the truck. So I was like, should I call his agent? And then I ran into him at something, and he goes, well, you know, if you pay my day rate for after and SAG, I can come out for like, and I'm like, oh, I guess that would be like, what, about the $500 at the time? I guess that, okay.
Oh, my God. That's a good line.
Just so famous. But that's amazing. There's like, I wonder if that deal, you know, still so many famous people that you're like, oh my God, you were like, even, I mean, it's continues to happen. Like, it's just people that you see, or, and then your relationship hasn't changed, but the relationship they have with the world has totally changed. And I think that's really great.
That is cool. Yeah. And then I think that's why these like long standing relationships are so important, is because like, it's not so overwhelming. It's more just like, it's always just been you and your crew, I bet. Like,
yeah. That's really beautiful. I mean, what the danger is like, what I regret is like fucking so many comics, because you never stop seeing them. Because nobody, right. Like, you know, usually, sometimes people leave and become babysitters, but other times they like stick around and then you'll never stop seeing them.
I mean, but they tell you really, that like, as a girl. They're like, don't fuck the comics. But it's also like, who else are you going to fuck? I mean, get real. Like,
I know who else you can fuck. Like, but at the same time, it's like, oh God.
Oh, I know.
Then it's like, yeah. Oh God. Because it's like, they're hot right now, but in like 15, 20 years, you're going to be like, I'm so embarrassed. I can die. Like, it's because you're sort of stuck with them. It's like probably being like in Mickey Mouse Club. Like, I bet they're all kind of embarrassed, you know? You're kind of embarrassed. Like, you just sort of can't get rid of the association. If you're like in High School Musical 4 or whatever, how many times has, you know, you can't get rid of your association with that person, even though it's like you have all these things have happened.
Totally.
So that's, I mean.
Yeah, there's nothing.
It's hard.
Knowing someone's seen you in a certain way, seeing you naked, you know, is like, okay, that's a very specific thing I have with that person, and I'm going to see them.
Yeah,
you like, know, until I'm very old.
Suck the dick on that billboard. Great, glad it's so big. It wasn't that big when I saw it, but now it's huge.
It's like,
that's not accurate.
Yeah, the billboards are a hilarious moment, I think, for everyone in Los Angeles, and we all have had that billboard moment, and
it's so gross.
Real rite of passage.
It's super gross. It's like, oh God. It's so embarrassing, and it's just, but it's only embarrassing to you.
Totally.
For sure.
You know, nobody else.
Luckily, a lot of my hookups aren't doing comedy anymore, so I feel like I really drove them out.
Well played.
That's the best way. You know, but sometimes they stick around and they don't go away, and then it's like you just have to make peace with the fact that we just kind of, the good part of comedy is the longevity. So if you're here, you're likely to be here for your whole life, which I'm grateful for that. I think that's wonderful. I think other parts of entertainment are so transitory and it's very hard for people to survive it. But comedians continue to get better as they get older. And that's really great, especially for women, because we get tossed away as actresses very early on, or in music very early on get tossed away. So
yeah, it's kind of interesting. This book I'm listening to is talking about like how we learn things, and like usually what happens is you have this initial phase where you're like just learning it, so you're very cognitive about it and you're trying to figure out what to do. But then you reach a place where most people plateau in most skills, because once your brain realizes like I'm good enough at this, it just enters this like autopilot mode. And so a lot of people plateau at most skills, but the exception is if you're in a situation where you're getting constant feedback. And in that situation, you remain in this beginner phase because your brain never like clicks into that autopilot mode. And those people keep getting better at things. And so surgeons are like that. They get automatic feedback of like how they're doing. And I was like, oh, comedians too.
Totally.
Us and surgeons.
So we're like surgeons.
We're a lot like surgeons.
Heroes.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think you're right. I think it's totally that. But and we get the worst feedback, too. I mean, our feedback is really immediate and intense. That's why I think that actually when we come out of this, we're all going to be really good, better. Every comic's going to be a better comic.
Yeah, I that's what I love about, like, even though this has been, you know, an incredibly hard year, obviously, for everybody, and not doing comedy live has sucked. It's like, I feel glad that I've been doing it over a decade because I'm just like, well, I know it's still going to be there. Because like you said, it's lifelong. So it's like, okay, it's not going anywhere. Like, I just got to white knuckle it through.
We're
this.
All like athletes with like a sprained ankle right now. Or ACLU or something.
Right.
ACLU, ACL. Exactly.
Yeah, or ACL. Yeah. Like,
donate to the ACLU while you're ACL And, all right, Margaret, where can everybody find you online?
They can find me margaretcho.com, at margaretcho on Twitter, and margaret_cho on Instagram, where so you can see photographs of my pets.
Yes. Beautiful yes. babies.
Yes. Babies.
My animals.
Oh, I love it.
Thanks. And for everybody with Stitcher Premium or part of our Patreon, we'll be doing our Beef of the Week. If you want to check that out, it's a little bonus segment we do every Friday. So go check those out if you don't know what they are. And thank you so much, Margaret. It's great to hang out with you.
Thank you.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, ladies. Hi, everyone. My name is Lexi. I'm from Oklahoma. I just wanted to call in because several episodes ago, you asked if anyone shaved their head during quarantine. I actually shaved my head in March, so right before quarantine started. Yes, the wind feels good on a bald head. Wearing a hood on a windy day also feels really nice on a bald head. It's nice and comforting. So I shaved my head in March, so I'm coming up on almost a year now. And my hair is a pretty cute length. I think it grows out pretty nicely. I have curly hair, so I didn't have much of an awkward stage. So if that gives anybody any kind of insight, if anyone's considering shaving their head, I think they should do it because it grows back anyway. And since I shaved my head, my life's been going really well. My mental health is under control in a way it's never been before. My professional life is going great. Yeah, I think everybody should shave their heads if they want to. Anyway, I love you. Bye. Oh, you can use she, her, or they, them pronouns. Okay, bye.
Hey, lady to lady. So I just listened to an episode from a few weeks ago, but you guys were talking about if teenagers cheat on tests. And so I just wanted to confirm that at the beginning of quarantine, I got in the habit of just, like, being able to look up the answer to everything. And now I can't stop. So just confirming that, yes, it is an issue. Okay. I hope you guys have a great day. I really enjoy your podcast. Bye.